believe he knows your name this morning. I'm counting on it.
He knows my name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Ain't you glad he knows your name?
Amen.
You know, sometimes we get kind of discouraged. You know, we go through trials, we go through battles, we go through heartaches. Amen. And we wonder, does he really know my name? And, you know, and you might have heard it. Brother Darrell Ward came by and he preached a message like that, that he knows my name.
Amen. And it just was real good, you know, and he
proved it to us in our day. Many times a person come before the prophet, he said, "You, sir," and he began to, you know, discern. He said, "You're not from here. You're from so-and-so. This is your name. Go home. You're healed." Oh, I'm so glad he knows my name. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated for a little bit.
Amen.
Thank you. That's all. Amen. We ain't going to sing. We can't sing. Amen. All we can do is make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But amen. But I just want to read you something here before we get started. Greet each and every one of you in the name of the Lord this morning. Amen. Trusting that everybody's doing all right. Amen. And we appreciate the Lord. Amen. And trusting that everybody's doing all right. And Brother Homer, my pastor, sends his greetings. Also, Brother Donnie, I texted him and everything. And he was telling me to tell you that hello for him also. So, amen. And we just appreciate that. And also, amen, we just love the Lord. I want to read you something before we get started. And I thought this was real good. This is on a message entitled Jehovah Miracles, 1959. Just listen to what the prophet of God said. So when a man comes to get the Holy Ghost, you don't care what the neighbors is going to say. You don't care if you shout, you speak with tongues, or whatever you do. It's a past that. You took God at his word. You don't care for criticism. You lost all your devil-made, homemade intellectual society called prestige. The thing that you want is favor with God. You don't care what the Holy Spirit causes you to do, to shout, scream, cry, or bawl, or anything you want to do. Anything the Holy Spirit puts on you, you do it. Because you don't care. You lost all that man-made stuff. You're free in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God has set you free, and you're free in the power of God. Bathing in his beauty, worshiping him in the spirit and truth. You're a free person. I'd be standing on my job someday and the boss say, "I heard you was over there at that holy roller meeting and got healed." I'm afraid. No, you're not, brother. If you're the seed of Abraham, you count it a joy to stand and testify the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My people shall not be ashamed. If you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and the holy angels. Amen. I thought that was real good. Amen. You love the Lord? You appreciate him? Amen. We're going to have church this morning. Amen. So let's just stand together. Amen. Before we read the word, how many's got a need this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just look to him. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning and we appreciate you so much for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are, Lord, that you're God. Oh, Father, we just love you, Lord. We'd ask, oh, God, that you'd help us this morning, Lord. Father, you saw the hands, Lord, my hands raised. You know what was behind each and every hand before it was raised, Father. I pray, oh, God, that you just touch, Lord, every need that would be in this building this morning, Lord. Father, I'd ask, oh, God, that you just help us, oh, God. Be with us, Lord, whether it be financial, spiritual, physical, whatever the need would be, Lord. Pray, Lord, you'd reach out and touch and heal. Father, make yourself known amongst us this morning, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, for Brother Jason Watkins, Lord. He just lost his dad, Father. Pray, Lord, you'd help them, comfort them, the church, Father, there. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd be with them this morning, Father. Help each and every one of us now, Father. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you, Father. May you just anoint each and every, Lord, as we read your word, Lord, the word's already anointed. Just anoint lips to speak it, Father. Anoint hearts and ears to receive it, Father. And when we leave this building this morning, we can say like they did on the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us as you talked with us along the way? We ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, look with me to the book of Amos, the 4th chapter. Pray for us this morning. Amen. Just seems like this weather, crazy weather we've been having. When we left home, it was 25 degrees where we live at. And then I've been checking it all day because I told my son-in-law, I called them, said, go over and turn on my water and let it drip a little bit because it was got down. And that's in the south. I mean, and, you know, and in fact, over there in South Carolina the other day and all that, in Charleston, South Carolina, they got snow and all that stuff. So I thought, man, this is crazy. But anyway, so come out here and it's 80 degrees. But we just, you know, we just love the Lord, though. Amen. He knows what we have need of. Amen. Amen. Amos, the 4th chapter, the 9th verse. It said, I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increase, the pommel worm devoured them, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence and the manner after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses, and I've made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrown Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 12, therefore this will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Amen. It's good to see everybody out the house of God, see faces that we know, and amen, trusting everybody's doing all right. Amen. Like to take for a thought this morning, and you know, here we are, just turned a new year, and you know, a lot of us, you know, especially been around this message for a while, didn't think we'd be here. Amen. 2018, but here we are. But I want to take for a little thought this morning, if I can, prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet God, and maybe not like a, you know, you say, well, Brother David, is somebody, no, not like somebody's fixing to, you know, God's fixing to take somebody home, but I want to be prepared for that hour too. But you know, here we come this morning and we come out to the house of God and you know, we got to prepare. Amen. I've got to prepare. Like it is this morning, we woke up to get ready to come to church, so we had to prepare and, you know, take a shower, whatever it is, and put on deodorant, brush our teeth, comb our hair and shave. We prepared to come down. I mean, if you was going to meet, let's say if you had an audience maybe with the President of the United States, you'd want to prepare probably to meet him. I mean, you probably wouldn't want to go down there with your overhauls on to meet the president or whatever. You wouldn't want to go slouchy looking or whatever. You'd kind of get groomed up to meet the president. Well, what about this morning? Amen. We didn't come to meet the president this morning. We didn't come to meet so-and-so this morning. We didn't even come to see each other this morning. We come to see God. Amen. And if we come to see God, I want to be prepared to see him. Amen. Whatever he may have for this service this morning, I want my mind to be right. I want my attitude to be right. I want my thinking to be right so that I can meet God. Amen. And God can give me what I have need of if I come rightly to meet him. If I come with the right attitude, if I come with my mind right, if I come with my thinking right, then God, I will not leave this building disappointed this morning, but I'll leave knowing that I've met God this morning. Amen. So we have gathered together this morning. But for what purpose? What did you come for this morning? When did you come to see, well, Brother Baker to preach? Well, you've been disappointed right there. Because he ain't preaching this morning. Or whoever it may be, what did you come for this morning? Did you come to see what Sister So-and-so was wearing, or what Brother So-and-so was wearing, or what the kind of songs they were going to sing, what the beat was going to be, if it was going to be fast, or if it was going to be slow, or whatever. What did we come for? Amen. I want to make up in my mind, when I go to the house of God, I'm going for one purpose, and they ain't worried about how the beat's going to be on the song, or who's wearing what, or who's singing what, or who's preaching. But I come, say, God, I have a need, and if I go right, Lord, I know you'll meet my need. That's the purpose I want to go to the house of God for. If you've come rightly to meet God, I believe you won't leave here disappointed. Amen. If you've come rightly. But if you didn't come rightly, we'll leave disappointed. Amen. You get what you expect. Amen. What'd you come expecting this morning? You say, well, Brother David, I got a need. Well, if you come expecting that need to be met, then God will meet your need. If you've come prepared for God to meet that need, then your need to get met this morning. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. See, the Israelites, oftentimes, they got in trouble. They got away from God, like we do every now and then. We grow kind of cold on God. Amen. And we come to the house and we don't sing like we should. We don't worship like we should. Amen. The song leader should remind us that we should worship. That should be something about us. Say, hey, I've come to worship God. Why shouldn't I worship God? He's been so good to me. Has he been good to you? He's been good to me. Amen. He woke me up this morning, called me in my right mind. In fact, I was a recipient of a miracle this morning. You said, how's that, Brother David? I woke up. There was a lot of people that didn't wake up this morning. I wonder how they stood with God. But me and you had a privilege. He woke us up this morning, gave us an opportunity to come to the house of the Lord and worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And so the Israelites, many times, they would often come together when they got away from God to bow down before their graven images, professing to worship God. Amen. Professing to worship God, professing to get something from God, and then they get up and leave out. Amen. Thinking that they was all right. How many times have we done that? Amen. We get up and we come to the house of God and we go through our rituals. See, sometimes our services can become rituals. We got a fixed program. Amen. And that's no better than the denominations. They'll give you a fixed program. What song's going to be sung? What the preacher's going to preach on? What this one is and what this one's going to do, until they leave no room for the movement of the Spirit of God. Amen. What about us this morning? Sometimes we get it made up in our mind where we're going to sing this song, especially if whoever's leading the singing. Well, it's going to be like this, and the song service is going to go this way, and that way. And then Brother Baker's going to come out. He's going to, then we're all going to go, huh? And we got it fit, and we don't wait for God to move. God, help us to be prepared this morning to say, God, I need you, and I want to come right. I want to have the right attitude. And they'd come, and they'd bow down before their graven images, and they'd do their rituals, and get up, going out, thinking they was all right. How many times have we done that? Whew. Amen. Oh, my. Hallelujah. They knew about true worship. They was taught right. Just like me and you, we've been taught right. We know how we should come in. We know all about church protocol. We know how we should come in. We know how we should wait and sit and meditate on God and get ready and be like the scripture. Many of churches around, they have that scripture written across, that black, be still and know that I'm God. Amen. Oh my. And they
We know about church protocol. We know about all this and how to all that and how they should come. They knew all about that, but they could not do it that way. Amen. But they still went back home satisfied. What about me and you? We know about church order. We know all about these things. We know how we should come in, how we should go out. And many times we can't pull ourselves to do it that way. Amen. But we still leave satisfied, like we've done everything all right. And our hearts are far from God. Amen. We wasn't prepared to meet God at all. Amen. We didn't come right. Amen. It was like this. When them priests went in behind the veil, they had to be dressed right. They had to walk right. They had to talk right. Amen. Oh my, what about us this morning? Amen. We gotta be dressed right. We gotta talk right. Amen. Hallelujah. And so they would go back home satisfied, thinking they was all right, but still their heart was far from them. They just went through the motions. Amen. And it really, their service really didn't have no substance about it. Amen. And I believe sometimes we can be that way. Amen. Like they were. We can come in here and go through the motions, go through the rituals and everything else, and leave out still satisfied, but our service didn't have no substance to it. And that's why a lot of us leave dissatisfied. That's why a lot of us leave with still things hanging on our lives that shouldn't be hanging on there. Amen. That's why we still leave. Amen. And we go out and we do the same things we did before we came in. Oh, God, help us this morning. Amen. They had gone through all their rituals correctly, and they were content. What about me and you? We go through our rituals correctly. We all do all these things correctly, and still we think we leave content when our heart is far from God and we hadn't went rightly. We ain't got ready to meet God. Hey, I come down here. I didn't come to see Brother Baker this morning, though I was glad to see him. I didn't come to see any of y'all, but I come to see God this morning. I come to see what God would give for us this morning, what God would do for us in the service this morning. That's what I've come for. Amen. Oh, my. Whew. You know, now God calls them to meet them no longer, to be satisfied with the visible and the external, but to get to the invisible and the eternal. Because sometimes we're only satisfied with what we can see and what others can see. But what about that eternal part? Hey, man. Oh, I may be dressed just right, dressed to a T and everything, shoes polished and everything. Well, but what's that got to do? Though you should ought to wear your best, our prophet taught us that. But what's that got to do with our eternal salvation? Amen. I don't want to no longer be satisfied with just the visible and the external. But what about down on the inside of my soul? God help me that that becomes satisfied. Amen. On the inside of the inside, not just on this outside. We can go to a ball game, jump up and down and holler and scream because somebody might have touched down a home run and this flesh will be satisfied. Whew. What about that spirit on the inside? I might talk about your dying daddy or your dying grandmother and you'll come to the altar. That's just your emotions. But what about on the inside of the inside, that soul that either you believe God or you don't believe God? Amen. Where it's sealed. Amen. Oh my. I believe that's the call of God to everyone. Let's not worry about the visible and the external, but the invisible and the eternal. My pastor preached a message not long ago on about making ourselves ready. Amen. That's what the bride, the Bible says over there in Revelation. He said, for the bride, Brother Andy said, the bride has made herself what? Ready. I can't make you bride. You can't make me bride. But there's one thing we all can do is make ourselves ready. Amen. I want to make myself ready. I want to look in God's mirror this morning. And if there's a hair out of place, if something's undone, God help me to make myself ready and get straightened up. Because I want to get out of here.
Amen. What'd you come out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Did you come to see somebody that's just tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine? Or did you come to see, amen, somebody that knows where they stand? That's what the question was. Amen. When he asked, Jesus asked him, what'd you come out to see? Talking about John the Baptist. Did you come to see somebody that dressed in king's clothing? That's in the palaces. Did you come to see somebody that would just kiss the babies and marry the young and bury the old? He said, that's just your kind old priest. But he said, you come to see a prophet and more than a prophet. Amen. What'd you come out to see this morning? What'd you come out to hear? Amen. What'd you come out to hear? Did you come to hear somebody that would compromise on the word? Then you got the wrong preacher this morning. Amen. There's too many people that compromise today. Amen. Oh, help us, Lord. Amen. I don't want to compromise on the word of God. Amen. But I want to stay true to that word of God. I want to stay true to what the prophet of God taught. Don't you believe that? Remember when God spoke to Joshua, said, if you don't lean to the right hand, don't lean to the left, but you stay exactly with what Moses said, and I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. I believe God's with his bride just like he was with the prophet. The prophet might have been gone off the scene, but God's still here. God still heals. God still raises the dead. God still delivers. Amen. Whew. But too many of us attend the house of God like this to hear good music. I like good music. I like good worship. Amen. I like good music. I like good worship. Amen. We come and maybe to hear a good speaker. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. Some of you probably got your favorite preacher. I probably ain't one of them, but you know what? You got your own favorite preacher. I remember when my wife first came into contact with a message. Amen. The first preacher she ever heard outside of the pastors that she was going to church was Brother Ted Pasedley. Amen. Really liked him, you know. That's the first one she ever heard. Amen. That may be the way it is with you. First one you ever heard when you first came in contact with a message. But I didn't come to hear good music this morning. Though that's good and it has its place. I didn't come to hear a good speaker this morning. I come to hear from God. Paul said, I didn't come to you with excellent words of speech or wisdom. Because if I'd have done that, you'd have said, look at me. I go to the great Apostle Paul's church. That's the way a lot of us get today. Amen. Oh, I go to Brother Donnie Reagan's church. So what? What's that got to do with your salvation? Amen. Oh, God. Many times Brother Brim said, I like to take a minister that don't even know their ABC, split beans from coffee, but he knows God. Amen. He knows the power of the resurrection. He knows that God is real. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. I believe God's real. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe he's real this morning. I believe he can speak to each and every one of us. Amen. I might have said it here before when I come, but I'll just, God's so real. Like I said, when I got started, he knows our names. He knows what we're thinking about this morning. He knows whether we'd rather be here or not. Amen. Hallelujah. But God still knows all about us. And if you hear and you got a need to God and you've come rightly prepared, then God will meet your need. God will meet your need. Whatever it is. If you come rightly, you got the right attitude. You come here to worship God. You come here not to see each other, but you come to see God. Then I believe God will meet your need. My wife, she's kind of nervous. She'll probably get on to me after church. It's all right. You don't have to go home with her. I do. So we sit right here at our church where these couples sitting. So it's been a couple years ago, maybe longer. And so we'll usually go out to eat, you know, with the pastor or whatever, Brother Homer. But I can't remember if we did it that Sunday or not. This was Sunday night. She came in church and She started looking over at me, Brother Dutch. She said, "My, you know, I'm just so nervous." And she named some things that were bothering her. And she said, "I ought to just go, get up and go home because I ain't going to get anything out of the service." How many's ever been like that? Amen. Just seem like everything bothers you. And you go. So I said, "Well, just wait, we'll pray." I hadn't talked to Brother Homer. I ain't even wanting to study. We came out set. She told me I ain't seen him. He comes out and he starts preaching. All of a sudden he turns and he goes a different direction. And he starts naming the things that my wife told me 30 minutes before service what was bothering her. God knows what we have need of. Amen. She looked at me and said, "Did you tell him?" I said, "No, but there's one that knows." Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. He knows my name. He counts the stars. He names them one by one. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Brother Branham said on the second coming of Jesus Christ, he said, "We didn't come to hear good music. We didn't come to hear good preaching. Though them things are fine, but we come out to check up on our soul's salvation." Any other kind of worship than that, God hates. Amen. We got to come to check up on our soul's salvation. Every day, the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. No wonder a lot of people don't like to go by to a house of God anymore. It's more easier for them to stay home in their pajamas and live stream than to come to the house of God. Why? Because judgment begins. That's where the battle is. I want to come out and pull from God. Now, if you can't do no better, that's all right. I understand that. But if you should, but if you can and you ain't in church, shame on you. Amen. Amen. We come what? To worship God and find out where I'm coming up short at. God, prepare me. Amen. Amen. I like to be able, amen, when a person sings a special, sister or brother, to be enter in with them, to worship God. Outside of that, it's entertainment. Amen. In the social or in the secular world, Bill Gaither, y'all heard of them and them singers, they call themselves Christian entertainers. That's what they call themselves, Christian entertainers. I don't want to be entertained. I want to worship God and let God come back and make love to me and I make love back to him. That's what I come for this morning. Amen. Is that what you come for this morning? Amen. Our adoration. Amen. And oh God, I love you. I appreciate you. And let them speak back to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh God, don't like it any other way. Brother Brown said you get what you expect. Amen. I said that a while ago. Amen. What'd you come expecting this morning? Amen. Come see somebody sweating while I'm doing it. Did you come see somebody spitting while I'm doing that? But what'd you come for? Did you come to see God? Then I believe you won't leave here disappointed. Did you come to hear from God this morning? Then you won't leave here disappointed. I was telling Brother Baker in the back, my wife, we moved to where we're at now 18 years ago. Well, actually, well, we've been sitting under Brother Homer. It'd be 18 years this coming September. But we moved. I left Amarillo. I had a good job. I just felt led to leave. I ain't going to go with no details. I just felt led to leave. So we went South Carolina first, but then I was going back and forth helping Brother Homer quite a bit. So we decided, felt led to just go ahead and move up there. So, you know, my wife and Brother Brandon said, you know, sometimes a woman has to work to kind of help, you know. So my wife started working. She worked for 17 years. This daycare. So last year or so, or maybe a couple years, I don't know. She's, you know, kind of weighing it out and everything. And hey, I don't make the best of money.
But we was talking about it, and her back's kind of bad and everything, and then lifting up on them kids, and you know, sometimes they don't help you, them kids, and lifting up on them kids and stuff and all that. And she just, and so she, we said, David, she, I said, well, what, you know, you need to quit. She said, David, how are we going to make it? I said, well, God, he's always provided for us. He always has provided. So anyway, she said, well, so here this year, this couple months ago, she said, David, I feel like I should. I said, well, just we'll be praying. And so the next service, Sunday morning, Brother Homer gets up and he makes a statement that Brother Bradham made about a woman's place in the kitchen. And that was a confirmation to her. Now, that might not be for her, but I'm just saying it was confirmation for her. So she got together, and I think her sister helped her, and she typed out a resignation, turned it in to her director there at that daycare, and several things happened that day, just confirmation. You said, was she scared? Yes, because she said, David, I don't know, but hey, God's always provided, and he still will. It will come and say, God, I'm coming here this morning, and I'm going to meet you the right way. I've come prepared. He always provides. Amen. So before we came out here, that was her last day. So you just pray for us. God's a provider. God's a healer. God's a deliverer. Amen. And we get what we expect. I expect God to bless us. I expect God, amen, because one of these days I want to take her by the hand and walk out of here in a body change. No more back problems. No more headaches, amen. No more battles, no more trials. Hallelujah. Amen. But how'd you come this morning? Did you come like David's wife, Michal, to scoff? Is that where he come this morning? Or did you come like Goliath to defy the armies of the living God? How'd you come out this morning? Huh? I believe God speaks to all of us. Amen. How'd you come out this morning? Did you come to defy? Did you come to say, well, after the service over, I'll get me some quotes and I'll show Brother Baker where he's wrong at? Did you come to do that? Did you come to scoff like David's wife? What happened to her? She was stricken barren. God help us. Amen. We're supposed to produce fruit in our lives. Amen. But if we scoff at God and not rightly prepare to meet him, we'll be stricken barren, never be able to produce. Help us, Lord. Amen. I want to be prepared. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel 7:3 says it like this. Put away the strange gods from you and prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Amen. Everything that's not like God this morning, I want God to take it away from me, Lord, and let my heart be right to meet you, Lord. Amen. If we come to church as God's people with prepared hearts, we won't come in vain. Amen. This service won't be in vain. Amen. We'll go out of here saying, God, I thank you that you met me, Lord. I thank you that I got something out of the service, Lord. I thank you that you healed me, Lord. I thank you that you delivered me, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to prepare to come this morning. Like I said about the priest, he had to make ready. He had to be washed. Amen. Had to be anointed. Had that garment on. A pomegranate, a bell. Ringing. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Holy, holy unto the Lord. What about our lives? I hope it can ring out holy, holy unto the Lord. Amen. Is your bell still ringing this morning? If they're not, you're dead. Amen. Oh, that's how they knew that priest was still alive. His bells were still ringing. I want my bells to be still ringing this morning. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes me and you can get out of fellowship and communion with him like they did in the days of Amos. Huh? Like they did there, it was so with Israel. They'd got out, and God began to talk to them, like we read. He said, hey, I've smitten you with blasting and mildew.
when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increase, the pommelwort worm devoured them, yet you have not returned to me. He's asking them to return unto him. And he came and he sent them pestilence, but still they wouldn't return unto him. He did all kinds of things. Amen. But still, they did not return unto him. Oh God, I want to be desperate this morning. And if I'm away from God this morning, if I'm backslid on God, if I'm grown cold on God this morning, God help me, Lord, to come back to you. Let it not take a pestilence in my life. Let it not take anything in my life, but let me come back to you this morning. And said, here I am, Lord. I'm coming to you again this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, he wants us to be back in fellowship with him. Amen. If there's coldness in our hearts, we forgot where he brought us from to where we are now. Amen. Say, God, help me this morning to get back to where I used to be. Amen. Help me to get back to my first love. Amen. Where I had a love for the truth. A love to hear the gospel. A love to hear gospel preaching. Amen. In its old-fashioned way. Look in Psalms. I didn't write this down, but look in Psalms 51. Here was David. After he had done that awful mistake with Bathsheba. Listen what he said. You know, I can see old David. He thought everything with Brother Baker, he thought everything would be just all right. He thought he had it covered up pretty good. I can see him having a baby dedication service. He was holding that baby in his arms, him and Bathsheba. Everybody comes through there and looking. Oh my, looking, it's an all cute little baby. Oh, you know, just goo goo gaga and all that. And just my cute little baby. They thought, man, whew, he's sweating bullets, you know. And all of a sudden here comes in Nathaniel. Nathan comes up and looks at the baby, looks at David, said, David, he looks just like you. He walks off and he said, whew. Then he comes back and said, David, when you get a minute, I want to talk to you. And begin to tell David, said, David, and you know the story he told David. And David's righteous indignation got stirred up and said, that man ought to be killed. And David said, and Nathan looked at him, said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. But look what David did. He didn't blame nobody but himself. He didn't blame this brother's wife left a message and this brother's wife quit this and this why this sister said this and this why I quit, but you never had it to begin with. If that's it, amen, you never had it to begin with. Look what David did. He's number one, Psalms 51 verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Oh God, that's what I want you to do tonight. Or this morning, have mercy upon me. Blot out my transgressions. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my trespass. That's what he had. He had to acknowledge. I got to acknowledge that God, I've done wrong. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. He said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified. Listen to him. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned, that thou might be justified when thou speakest. God, I got a right to be condemned. You got a right, Lord, to condemn me. You got a right, Lord, to send me to the devil's hell. You got a right in doing what you're going to do to me, Lord. But help me, Lord. Wasn't that something? He acknowledged that God had a right to do whatever he wanted to do. Amen. He said, thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. and uphold me with thy free spirit, then and only then will I be able to teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Amen. Oh, I believe he's standing at the door this morning knocking. Amen. Maybe you're lukewarm. Amen. Oh, I don't want him. I don't want to make God sick. Brother Brown said it made God sick in his stomach because we was neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. It made God want to, you ever been sick and you want to just regurgitate? Amen. That's what God wants to do. Because the way we live, the way we do, sometimes the way we come in church, we didn't come prepared, and God wants to spill us out of his mouth. He's calling to us. Prepare to meet me. Be reconciled back to me. Amen. Maybe you're a backslider here this morning. The Bible says, the scripture says, he's married to the backslider. If you are one, or maybe you've grown cold on God, maybe you got away from God. If you are and you're here, there must be something in your heart, or you wouldn't be here. Prepare to come back to his loving arms and be reconciled back to him. Probably God said on the message, north it not. The only thing we have left is the readiness of the church. Now let me look at this real quickly. Try not to hold you long. Let me look at this real quickly. Under this preparing to meet God, I believe he brings a challenge to us, he brings an invitation to us, and he brings a summons. Let's look at this challenge for a minute. Amen. Many times, and we read it, punishing the Israelites from time to time against their for worshiping idols and turning their backs on him and everything. And Jehovah would deal with them, and every time he would try to bring them back to repentance, but none of them things had moved them. Amen. What about us this morning? Amen. God smote them harder. And God, the more God smote them, the harder they become. Brother Brandon said it like this. He said, I'll go and preach, come back a year later, and they're worse than what I was when I came a year before. That's right, brothers and sisters. He said, and we hear Brother Branham, we hear Brother Homer, Brother Donnie, we hear all these people. Amen. Oh, God. And he said, since you won't submit to me, my wrath, I challenge you, prepare to meet me. He put out a challenge. Now you prepare to meet him. And under this challenge, let me say it like this before I get there. You heard this gospel for a long time. All my life, just about it. 1969, my mom and dad came to the message. Baptized out there in Hardy, Arkansas. Now, before they passed, I really can't say whether they made it or not. So that's an awful statement to make about your parents, Brother David. It is kind of hard sometimes. One thing I do know, that I love this message. And I love God with all my heart. Whether my parents didn't or not, I don't know. Whether my brothers does or not, I don't know. Whether my anybody else, my kinfolks, whether my wife loves God in this message, I don't know. Everybody's individual. I believe she does. Amen. And she travels with me when she can. Amen. And that's one thing she said when I quit, David, brother. He said when I quit, David said, I want to be able to go with you more. God help. Hey, I need her. Hey. I forget a lot of stuff. I told her she ought to stand up and testify in church. So I know that when my husband goes off somewhere and he comes back, that's God's grace. Because he went off by himself and he made it back home by himself. She can testify to that. Hey, we need one another. Amen. Oh, but how, and you heard this for a long time. Still, you reject and hope to withstand God. And under this challenge, three things. Why do you keep justifying yourself for not living for God? Huh? Why do you justify yourself to remain God's enemy? He said, well, because, you know, and no, I'm asking you this morning. He said, well, so-and-so, I ain't talking about so-and-so down the street. I'm talking to you this morning. Why do you still justify to remain God's enemy? And many times, mom and dad used to get on to us. I said, well, so-and-so down. I ain't talking about so-and-so down the street. I don't care what they do. I'm talking to you, David. This is our house, and you got to do what we say. Now, I don't care what so-and-so does. You got to do it. Hey, this is God's house. This is God's message. And he's talking to us. He ain't talking to the Baptists. He ain't talking to Benny, but he's talking to us this morning. But we want to justify ourselves. We want somebody to slip up and make a mistake, and then we're going to get a quote where we can make the same mistake to justify ourselves. Brother Brown said like this, that God don't condemn you for being a sinner, but he condemned you for remaining one. Whew. He's done so much for me. Hey, man, he's healed me when I was sick. He's brought me from a mighty long way. He was my mama. He's my sister. He's my brother. Amen. He's brought me from a mighty long way. Hallelujah. I don't want to be able to justify myself, but I say, God, help me to live for you. Help me to live for you, Lord. Number two under this challenge, how about resisting him? Can you stand up against him? Or are we going to be like the chaff that the wind blows away? Whew. Amen. Pharaoh tried to stand up against him, but he found out he couldn't make it across the Red Sea. Many people tried to stand up against God, even in this day, and they found out they couldn't stand up against what God has done. Amen. I don't care who you are this morning. You can't stand up against what God has done. Amen. So if you believe you're here this morning and you have a right to be here and Brother Baker's your pastor, then stay here under him and follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Or do we want to resist him? Amen. Count the cost. He said, before we go out to meet the enemy, so you better sit down. If you got 10,000 people coming after you and you got only 1,000, you better sit down and count and make sure you're going, hey, are you able to do this or not? There's been a lot of people who didn't count the cost and they're wrecked up along the way. Hey, man, they couldn't resist him. Are you able to endure, number three, under the challenge, what he may lay upon you? There's no hell. We can do this and we can do that. Oh, they say that. Psalms 14:1 says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. Maybe we just want to prepare to fight it out with him. But if neither of these you can do, you can't justify yourself, you can't resist him, and you're not able to endure what he may throw upon you, then I suggest you fall down on your knees and say, God, give me grace that I can stand in this hour. Give me grace that I can stand in this hour. Amen. Number two, he don't only gives us a challenge, but he gives us an invitation. God comes out to meet us. He's come this morning. Because we asked him to come. He's come this morning. Hey, man, now are we going to sit here or are we going to run and hide? Psalms 139:8 says it like this. If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So wherever we go, he's still there. Amen. He's given us invitation this morning. He said, come unto me, all thee that are heavy laden and burdened. I'll give you rest. He's given us invitation this morning. Amen. Oh, he said, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're still there. There's Adam in the garden. And the prophet of God said it should have been like this. It should have been said to God going around saying, Adam, where art thou? It should have been Adam running and said, God, where are you, Lord? I've sinned. I made a mistake. God, I need you. What about it? If I lose this handkerchief don't know it's lost. I'll have to go looking for it because it don't know it's lost. That's what he did. I didn't know I was lost and undone without God or his son, but he came looking for me. Amen. I'm so glad. Like that mama eagle, he came looking for me. Amen. Them seals were tore back. Amen. And he called my name. It wasn't like Doug Baker or David Gadman, but something on the inside said, that's right. Amen. Amen. Something on the inside said, that's right. Something began to match with what was on the inside that was pulsating my heart, pulsating at my soul. Amen. Oh, Peter. Amen. He liked this. It's like us. Hey, I can't explain some things. Ask Brother Baker. He probably can't explain some things. Brother Homer says, you know what? Every now and then he'll text Brother Donnie and call Brother Donnie and say, hey, I want to know a question, and I called the smartest man. Brother Donnie said, well, he must not have been home, so you call me. Hey, we don't understand a lot of things. I can't dot every I and cross every T. But this one thing I do know is that to whom shall we go? Like Peter. Peter didn't know a lot of things. He's ignorant, unlearned, couldn't sign his name. But when everybody was walking away, after Jesus said, except you eat the flesh and drink my blood, there's a cannibal, cannibal. They all got it, walked away. He began to preach because he had three pools in his ministry. Amen. He healed the sick. Amen. He had discernment. Amen. Knew the secrets of the heart. Then they opened another word and they began to walk away from him. Amen. And because of that, he looked around at then 12. He said, will you go also? Seeing then the others are leaving. And Peter spoke up. Now, Peter probably didn't know a lot of things. He probably couldn't, Brother Andy, he probably couldn't tell you a lot about what Jesus preached on and knew a lot. But he said, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. I say this morning, let those that leave, let them leave. But to whom shall I go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember Brother Brown preached a message. He said like this. It's up in Tacoma, Washington. He said there's this captain of the police force. He's asked him, Brother Brown said, is the Holy Ghost for me? And Brother Brown said, it's for you Baptists. It was for anybody to whom soever will believe. He said, well, where do you think I could go, Brother Brown, that God would meet us? He said, I'll get the best, finest rooms in here in this city, Tacoma. I'll get the finest suite of rooms and we can come down. No, that ain't necessary. Well, where can we go? He said, right here in this shooting gallery. And on their knees, they right there in that shooting gallery and led them to the Lord. Led them to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Wherever you're at tonight or this morning, amen, he'll come right to where you're at. Amen. Right at your point. Amen. Or about giving up or wherever it may be. He'll come right to you. It don't matter. He left a revival meeting, crossed the land, crossed the stormy sea for the sake of one time. He went into the valley of a well for one time. Amen. He's still God. Like that song, he's still in the fire and he's walking all around. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help me. Amen. To kneel at the cross this morning. Give me a repenting heart. Give me faith to believe your word. Give me a hatred for sin. Give me a yielding spirit and a heart of flesh. Then will I be prepared to meet you, Lord. Amen. Like that great evangelist. Remember? I said, hey. And he said, I don't see. You know, Brother Bram called him one name, then he called him another. He said, why don't you leave the message? Because he called him one thing over here, called him one thing over there. How many in your life? Hey, I'm almost 58 years old. And I've heard several stories in my life. And in fact, I've heard the same story, different characters. But it was the same story. So, so that don't matter what story it was or where he was or when it happened. I believe his word. Amen. I believe the word of God. Amen. Well, anyway, this great, you remember the story? He said, we don't have no record of your birth. We can't find your name. He said, well, what can I do? He said, you can appeal your case to White Throne Judgment. He said, then that's the only thing I can do. And you remember the story? And he said, you know, God, and he stood right there in his presence. He said, awesome presence. He spoke to him and said, hey, did you ever lie? He said, in that presence, you better tell the truth. He said, yes, I lied. He said, did you ever steal? He thought, I stole. Did you ever? He said, any moment I was going to hear condemn, depart from me. But then he said, up behind me, I heard a voice sweeter than any mother's voice and said, Father, Daniel Curry stood for me here on earth. I'm going to stand for him now. God, help me to stand for you. Give me a repentant heart this morning. Give me a hatred for sin. Just as I am without one plea. Amen. Give me something. Give me a prepared heart. Amen. Then number three, what about a summons? You know, you never know when that time comes. Me and my wife was talking the other day, and out somewhere and I preach the message and I sit down in that study and I begin to write down everybody that I knew personally. Since around the time my pastor lost his wife, which just a little over a year ago, about 15, 16 months ago. And I started from about that time all the way up, all through 2017. I said, there was her. There's a brother that went to Brother Sam Dale's church. There was a Brother Spencer's wife, Brother Gibbs. Many of them I knew personally. Oh, I could call a lot more. I thought, my, one right after the other. I thought, my, for a year, I thought, my, a lot of them has one home to be with you. Brother Homer Frazier, different ones. And I thought, God. Then there were some, my own family. I lost my aunt. I lost my dad. And then there were some celebrities. You might, you know, read, you know, celebrities you read. And I thought, God, the majority of them, I knew where they stood. I knew they were Christians. I knew they were a part of this bride. I loved this message. Some you kind of have to, I don't know, Lord. I hope that your grace, Lord, is sufficient. But then there are those that you knew for sure that they didn't make it. What about me and you? He gave us a challenge this morning. Give us an invitation. But what about that summons? Some you wouldn't have realized. I would have never thought. You know? You pray for our pastor. He's had a hard time. He's married 55 years. Long time. To be with your mate. And then God take her. Whoever it may be. Sister or husband. If you lost a husband or whatever. So he's just had a rough go of it. Amen. And just still, I told him one time, I said, Brother Homer, I said, I don't know. He said, just cry. I didn't think he's going to make it. At one time, he asked my wife. He's in bad shape. Then he just had to realize, Brother Baker, he says, I got to get a hold of God. I got a church. I got family. Has he quit? No, he still cries every now and then. I said, Brother Homer, I said, I remember listening to tape, Brother Branham, life story, 1959, I think, in Los Angeles, when he just so broke up. And that hadn't been but what, maybe, and that's over 20 years he'd been without Sister Hope, but still broke up and said, I can't preach no more. I can't talk no more. It's just so real. I said, Brother Homer, nothing wrong with that, Brother Homer. And you never know when that time will come. Us as ministers, we can't tell you. We may, you know, maybe look and, you know, Brother Branham, he prayed for that girl one time. And then about a year later, prayed for her and she died. Then he went around and said, God, you owe me an explanation. You owe me an explanation. And God kind of rebuked him, said, I don't owe you nothing. He said, God don't tell his prophets or show his prophets everything. But he seen a vision or a dream of her that she almost drowned a year before that. Said that was her time, but she wasn't ready. Went to her mother and asked her about it. Said, that's true. See, God don't tell. But you wonder sometimes, why, God? Why? Why, Lord? Amen. Why, Lord? You wonder. Amen. Only, you know, all I can say is we've got to be prepared to meet God. Jeremiah said, the harvest is past, the summer is over, and we're still not saved. Right. He said, is there no bomb in Gilead? That ain't one of the reason why. There's a bomb here this morning. There's a message here this morning. Right. Brother Brown preached that message. Why? Why? And we all asked him, why? Why? But if we don't do what God says, and he wrote out the prescription, then he's going to ask us why. Why? They tell me that when the Titanic went down, they had questions. Why did it go down? Why? When they built it and labeled it unsinkable. Why did it sink? Why didn't they give warning to the about the icebergs and all that? Oh, I don't want to rely on nothing but look to Jesus. Amen. I want to look to him and say, God, you help me, Lord. I want to look to you this morning and say, God, you help me. You remember in the Bible, there's five wise and five foolish. And the cry went out, behold, the bridegroom cometh.
And they all rose up and trimmed their lamps. But the five foolish, their lights went out. And they tried to go and buy from the five wise. And the five wise said, hey, we just have enough for ourselves. Go and buy from those that sell. And when they were gone, said the bridegroom come and the door was shut. Oh, church, what hour are we living in? What hour are we living in, church? Oh, I want to trim my lamps. I want to make sure I got plenty of oil in my lamps. We used to sing, I heard a song years ago. You finally took the time to pray. You finally took the time to come to church, but you did it one day too late. Because the Lord came the day before. He just came one day too late. Now let me read you some things that the prophet of God said. It'd be all right. Listen to what he says. And now, mother, you're here in the stretch, and dear loving person, mother here and all around in the building. He said, I want to do tonight, by God's help, he'll let me, to speak this word to you that I prepare your heart for the healing service. He said, now, I want you to listen close. Now, preparation. God, before he does anything, always prepares for it. He said, but before we go to fight a war, first we have to prepare for that war. If you're going to get married, well, you got to prepare for that time. And you have preparations. And before you come to church, you must made preparations. And God is always prepares the people for the events that's just about to happen. Again, he says, now I noticed that Eve wrapped herself up in some fig leaves and Adam. But when it came time to face God, they were condemned. They realized that man-made religion wouldn't work. Now, how true it is today when God has prepared himself to speak to Adam, and Adam in a man-made way was trying to prepare himself to speak to God, but God had to prepare Adam to speak to him. Whew. So in order to do that, they begin to pass the buck one to the other, as the old street expression. Amen. But they had to prepare. God made a provision for Adam to prepare himself to speak to him. Again, he says, what is it? It's God's warning to you people. Prepare to meet God. Get ready. Why should I prepare to meet God? Brother Branham, brother, you prepare for a wedding. You prepare for anything else. When you see these things coming, you prepare to meet God. Every time you see a gray hair in your head, that means you better prepare to meet God. Every time you pass an undertaker's establishment, that means prepare to get ready to meet God. Every time a baby's born, remember, prepare to meet God. Every time a funeral procession passes, prepare to meet God. Each time you hear the gospel as a warning, prepare to meet God. God has a way of escape. Get into Jesus Christ now when you're safe. Each one of those animals went right in, two by two in the ark. God always makes a way for those who are really wanting to escape the wrath of God. Amen. Again, he says, but let me tell you something tonight. You're on the end, you on the end and the outside of this building. You're going to wind up at a destination one of these days. There's going to be in the valley of the shadows of death. I would advise you at this hour to prepare to meet the God that you will have to meet at you at that hour. You either meet him as a masterpiece that he has worked on. Oh, I want to meet him that way. He said, you either meet him as a masterpiece he has worked on or a floating piece of driftwood to go into your final destination. Oh, God, let me not be a piece of driftwood this morning. Amen. But to meet you as a masterpiece. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, so don't you just in this life to drift around and float around and get a better job and to dress better and to get a new television? Or a better car. Life means more than that. Hallelujah. He said, life means more than that. I ain't saying there ain't nothing wrong with a new car, a new home. There is something wrong with a new television. I didn't bring my shotgun this morning, but I got one at home. But he said, life don't consist of all that. You know, I used to worry, Brother Baker, but I'm at that age now where it don't really matter. I want to know him. That's all that matters. Whether my name is big in the light, that don't matter. Whether I'm popular in school, that don't matter. Whether I know this or that don't matter. But to know him, that's what matters. Amen. Young people, to know him, that's what matters. Amen. He said, life means more than that. Don't you try to use this just to say, well, the rest of the dim joint, I will too. No, he said, don't do that. Again, he says, I'm so glad to be a Christian. I'm so glad that I'm his watchman. One of them that's standing on the wall crying out, prepare to meet God for the hour of his coming, his joint eye. You here in this church this morning, if there be one who isn't positive that the morning star is reflecting its light into your heart, the great Holy Spirit, may you prepare for that. For that's, there's one of the greatest events that ever take place is at hand right now. We're standing on a brim watching a drama being set. Again, he says, so what if people are prepared in the wrong way? What if soldiers went to the field, not trained for battle, but to go out there to dance? Though they would might be ever so good dancers, they got to be trained to fight. What if they went out there to have some other kind of affair and don't know how to use their gun? They would do little good. So I think that the workers in the harvest should be prepared to know how to train the people for the coming of the Lord. For there's none of us but what wants to meet it. Again, he says, though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white like the snow. The only thing I'm asking you to do is come to my prepared place, the altar. God made an altar. There's an altar. There's a place where you meet God. Come talk it over with me. I got a place prepared and a remedy for you. Again, he says, how many tonight in this church that knows my brother, that knows my brother, that sister, that you're going to be summoned someday? Whether you're ready or not, whether you're prepared or not, you're going to be summoned to meet God. That trumpet's going to sound, and when it does, it'll sound to condemnation to you. That's where you'll never live again, and you'll be tormented in the devil's pits of hell for maybe millions of years, or they'll summons you on high to meet the glorious saints. Oh, I hope that's what it does for all of us here this morning. Again, he says, I hope you people are catching the similarity of that, of when we go to meet God. See, you got to be washed, the sacrifice, and it was groomed and ready, prepared. And that's the way we get to when we go to meet God. We got to first to come and be washed by the water of the word. That's right, perfumed with the anointing oil that went over Aaron's beard that run all the way to the hems of his skirts. Brotherly love to enter into his holy, holy. Amen. And one more. Listen what he says. Therefore, the bride in the rapture will come forth. And there it is, all pre-planned by God. All backed up from the beginning. He knowed every man, every place who would set all about it. It's all prepared. All pre-planned. He said he knew everybody who would set where? Where we set? I thought, my, ain't that great? I've been to places. You had an invitation to come, Brother Baker, and you go in there and you're looking around, and all of a sudden you see your table, and it's got your name on there. And you take your seat, and you're ready for the event that's going to take place. All I can see them all. Brother Bram said that table spread thousands of miles long. Brother Bram said, will Paul have to be with his group? Said, yes. And I can see Paul and Timothy finding their places. Sitting around that table. Oh my, just around Irenaeus and his people and all of them. Then I thought, my, what about us? I can see Brother Branham sitting there, and all of a sudden, him in there and down through the ages, men of God that's come and held high this message and held high this standard of living that we believe in. Down through the ages, there they are all gathered around. All of a sudden I see my name. Hallelujah. Now take my seat. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the hour I'm looking for. Take my seat, Lord. Amen. Have you come out and take your finger, take and wipe the tears from my eyes. Say, don't cry no more. Oh, that's the moment I'm looking for. Let me be prepared now. Amen. Oh, I hope my life matches his word. Amen. Remember when they gave an invitation, they had to come and get an invitation. And then they placed that garment. You know, they got a garment so they all would look the same. God help me to have my wedding garment on. He said God knew it would be here. And when he made that way so that when you get there, he's going to prepare a place for us. And when we get there, it'll all be prepared just like even this night is prepared, like this hour is prepared. Oh, are you prepared to meet him this morning? Did you come rightly this morning? Let's stand together.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we humbly bow our heads this morning, Lord. And God, I love you this morning. And Lord, as we just simple message, Father. But Lord, sometimes we don't really prepare ourselves, Lord. Even coming into the service, Lord. Sometimes back home, Father. Lord, we forget, Lord. And we wonder why the service didn't go well or why this happened and why this happened. But Lord, maybe we really didn't prepare. Lord, maybe I didn't pray for my pastor like I should have. Maybe I didn't enter in with a worship service like I should have. So therefore, I left disappointed because I didn't go prepared. But God, now since I know, Father, help me from this morning on, Father, to prepare myself a little bit more. Father, that I can pray and say, God, I don't know who's preaching, if it's Brother Doug or who it is, one of the other brothers or back home or whoever it is, if we got a visiting evangelist or whoever it may be, or during our meetings when we have our meetings or whatever it is. Lord, I want to pray, say, God, that brother who's coming, he don't know. He can't pack a revival in his suitcase, Lord. But, Lord, if my heart's right, and I prepared myself, Father, Lord, and I've done right, and I'm praying. And Lord, I'm entering in when they worship, and I enter in, because the Bible says, enter in his courts with thanksgiving, into his gates with praise. And I'm entered in that way, Father, and I'm sitting there meditating upon you, Father. And as the music, and I start worshiping you and entering in, Lord Jesus, and just paving that way and creating that atmosphere, Father. So, Lord, that when you can come, Lord, all the channels are cleared out, Father. The Holy Spirit can flow freely, Lord. Then if there's somebody that needs to be born again, they can be born again. If there's somebody that needs a healing touch, Lord, they can be healed. If there's somebody that needs salvation, Lord, they can receive salvation, Lord. If there's somebody that needs deliverance, Lord, they can be delivered, Lord. Whatever it may be, Father. But Lord, I got to do my part, Lord, and that's to prepare myself, Lord. Help me, Lord, to prepare myself, Lord. Oh God, help me, Lord. You gave us a challenge, Lord. Lord, help me not to come out to scoff this morning, Lord. But if I have, help me to repent, Lord. Let me not come out like Goliath did and defy the armies of the living God. But Lord, help me come rightly, Lord. Help me come rightly. Don't let me justify myself, Lord. Don't let me try to resist you, Lord. Because, Lord, I sure won't be able to endure what you'll throw upon me, Lord. Lord, maybe you're giving us an invitation, Lord. If we've come this morning, I don't want to run and hide, Lord. But I want to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am to worship you. Here I am to give you glory. Here I am to give you praise. And Lord, let me not, Lord, one day it be a summons, Lord. Lord, I know that Scripture says that, and you're going to have a people, because the Scripture says that they that are alive and remain. Lord, there's going to be a people that's alive and remain. Lord, if I'm to be a part of that group, help me to be ready, Lord. Help me, Lord. But Lord, if you should summon us to go by the way of the grave, Lord. We don't know, Lord. We lost quite a few. A little over a year, Father. Help us to be ready. If we ever want to see them again, Father, help us to be ready, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's just worship him now. Amen. Before we turn it back, whatever you got on your heart there, Brother Kenny. Amen.
I have
maker this morning.
He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hands.
It's this morning, amen. Hallelujah.
He knows my name.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, prepare my heart this morning, Lord. Oh, God, help me to worship you this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He sees, he's here, that voice.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
And he hears me when I call. I have Father.
Oh, just worship in church. Amen. Let's just
pray. I have a Father.
Grant it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And he hears.